China crows over its first spacewalk. German police say they pulled two terrorists off a KLM flight. And another medevac chopper is down. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 29th, 2008. China's Shenzhou 7 mission provided the Chinese people with a weekend of relief from coverage of the nation's tainted infant formula scandal. Not only did the nation's first spacewalk provide an emotional counterpoint to the embarrassment of the melamine milk story, it literally displaced it from the news, as state-run TV preempted everything for wall-to-wall coverage of the spacewalk. In a Sunday editorial, Xinhua columnist Chang Ailing wrote, quote, "While tainted milk has cast the brand of China-made into international humiliation, another China-made Shenzhou 7 spacecraft brought pride and glory to the country's 1.3 billion population," unquote. After yesterday's successful return to Earth of the three Taikonauts, spacewalker Zhai Zhigang said, quote, "It was a glorious mission, full of challenges with a successful end. We feel proud of the motherland," unquote. Even portions of the post-reentry physical exams were covered on TV. Saturday, Chinese President Hu Jintao commended Zhigang. Quote, "Your spacewalk was a complete success. It's a major breakthrough in the development of our manned space program. The motherland and the people thank you," unquote. Ironically, while the 68-hour mission was arranged and timed to maximize its political, military, and public relations value, on the world stage, it could actually be a setback to the image of Chinese aerospace engineering. Both the spacesuit used by Zhigang for the EVA and the spacecraft itself are copied from Russia's Soyuz program, perpetuating the long-held notion that Chinese engineers are much better at cloning technology than inventing it. German police boarded a KLM airliner Friday morning at Cologne Bonn Airport and removed two men suspected of plotting a terrorist attack. The New York Times reports the two were pulled from a Fokker F-50 turboprop shortly before it was to take off for Amsterdam. Police spokeswoman Michaela Heyer called the arrest entirely unspectacular, downplaying initial reports that claimed the plane was stormed by police. The flight was delayed about an hour while baggage was removed and the plane thoroughly searched. German media reports the men had been under surveillance for months. Radio Netherlands reports they were taken into custody at the same time a related operation stormed their apartment, where police said they found suicide notes stating they wanted to die in a holy war. The men are believed to be a 23-year-old Somali and a 24-year-old Somali-born German citizen. There was reportedly no indication that either man actually carried weapons or explosives. For many helicopter pilots, gaining the experience needed to qualify for medevac work is a very rewarding career milestone. It also opens the door to some of the most dangerous flying you can do. A Maryland State Police medevac helicopter, thought to be a Eurocopter Dolphin, crashed outside Washington, D.C. early yesterday, claiming the lives of four people. A fifth passenger is said to have survived the crash. CNN reports the helicopter was en route to Prince George's Hospital with two patients critically injured in an automobile accident. When the helicopter's pilot notified dispatch, he planned to return to Andrews Air Force Base to avoid inclement weather, instead of continuing on to the hospital. The helicopter crashed about 3 miles north of Andrews, east of the District of Columbia, in Ritchie, Maryland, at 1:15 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday morning. WRC Television reports the victims have been identified as pilot Stephen Bunker, co-pilot and flight paramedic Mickey Lippi, emergency responder Tonya Mallard, and Ashley Youngler, one of the traffic accident victims. The second auto accident victim, 18-year-old Jordan Wells, was rushed to the hospital by ambulance in critical condition. The National Transportation Safety Board has dispatched a go team. The Mooney Aerospace Group Limited has named Robert B. Gowans the new CEO of Mooney Airplane Company in Kerrville, Texas. Gowans has held executive positions in three different manufacturing companies in the recreational marine industry and brings more than 36 years of senior leadership experience to his new role. Outgoing CEO Dennis Ferguson will retain his position as president. Gowans holds a Bachelor of Business Administration from Ohio's Kent State University. Mooney Board Chairman Stephen Carroll notes, quote, "He has the expertise and practical hands-on experience to help us move to the next level of efficiency and profitability," unquote. Before serving as a manufacturing consultant with A.T. Kearney and Arthur Anderson, Gowans was the president and CEO of the Cigarette Racing Team, VP of Sales and Marketing for Mercury Marine's Mercruiser Business Unit, and VP and General Manager of the Mercury Parts and Accessories Business Unit. He also oversaw a consolidation of the operations of the engine group as part of a turnaround strategy at Johnson and Evinrude outboard engines. Up next on ANN, a Cape Air Cessna 402 is down in Massachusetts. The House approves NASA's plan to buy seats on Soyuz spacecraft. And the Wichita Aero Club welcomes its charter members. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 29th. I'm Paul Plack. A Cessna 402 operating as Cape Air Flight 1055 crashed Friday night in West Tisbury, Massachusetts. The pilot was repositioning the plane. He was the sole occupant and was fatally injured. FAA spokeswoman Holly Baker said the plane had departed Martha's Vineyard Airport, bound for Boston's Logan International, and went down about 8.05 p.m. Eastern Time. Cape Air's website identified the pilot as 61-year-old Captain David D. Willey, who had flown for the airline for the past 3.5 years. Cape Air spokeswoman Michelle Haynes told the Cape Cod Times airport officials reported heavy rain and high winds at the time of the plane's departure, but declined to make assumptions about the cause of the crash. The Associated Press quotes State Police Lieutenant Eric Anderson in reporting, "A house near the impact site was damaged by crash debris, but no one on the ground was injured." The FAA and the NTSB will investigate. By a vote of 370 to 58 late last Wednesday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a waiver to the Non-Proliferation Act of 2000, which will allow NASA to buy seats on Russian Soyuz spacecraft to continue routine trips to the International Space Station after the shuttle fleet retires in 2010. The Senate passed a similar waiver a few days before. Now it has to be signed by President Bush. Passage of the waiver, though, does not mean the debate is over. According to the Washington Post, several members of Congress have expressed concerns that Russia will have a monopoly on transport to the station, risking both exorbitant pricing and an opportunity to bring political pressure on the U.S. Some lawmakers, including Senator John McCain, want the shuttle program extended to avoid reliance on the Russians, especially in light of the recent chill in U.S.-Russian relations. Congressman Bart Gordon, chairman of the House Committee overseeing NASA, counters that that would reduce funding for the Constellation program, including the next-generation U.S. spacecraft, Orion, which we need to replace the shuttle. At a celebration of NASA's 50th anniversary last Wednesday night, NASA Administrator Michael Griffin said the waiver allowing expenditure of U.S. taxes for Russian transport, quote, is a victory because all of the other outcomes are worse, unquote. A consortium of business, government, and educational organizations in the greater Wichita, Kansas area is forming the Wichita Aero Club. Patterned after the Aero Clubs of Washington and Atlanta and the Wings Club in New York, the new group plans to host monthly luncheons and invite high-profile speakers to address major aviation industry issues. Addresses at the Washington Aero Club are frequently the source of quotes from FAA and other government officials. Organizers tell ANN the new Aero Club will also have a website, publish an online newsletter, and host fundraising events throughout the year. The new club echoes an organization bearing the same name that was actually chartered in 1915, according to documents filed with the state. Apparently, the original Wichita Aero Club faded after sponsoring a ballooning event nearly a century ago. The new club plans to operate as a nonprofit organization. The new group offers opportunities for individual founding members to join for a one-time founder's fee of $100 for the first year and $55 a year after that. Student, retiree, and government and military memberships are available for $25 per year. Among its other activities, the club plans to recognize prominent aviators with an annual trophy at an annual gala awards dinner. It will also promote aviation-related educational and career development initiatives and will take a leading role in the preservation of the region's aviation heritage. Founding members so far include Bombardier, Cessna, Flight Safety International, Hawker Beechcraft, PIM Aviation Insurance, Pratt & Whitney Canada, Spirit Aerosystems, and Yingling Aviation. The group has raised $10,000 so far. Founding and charter memberships will remain available until December 31st. A former Gulfstream Airlines lead mechanic is charging his former employer with routinely violating FAA regulations in its maintenance program. The company is positioning him as a loose cannon with a history of employment problems. Gulfstream Airlines operates primarily as Continental Connection, carrying 2,500 passengers per day to 20 locations in Florida and the Bahamas. Except for a flight last year which suffered a nose gear collapse while landing in Tampa, the airline says it has a good safety record. But former lead mechanic Dan Briscoe told WTVJ Television, quote, "I think there's a culture there throughout the airline that we can get around the regulations," unquote. He added, quote, "The aircraft would come in for scheduled inspections and the paper would be completed, but the inspections would never be done, or discrepancies that the pilots would document would be signed off and they would never be looked at. I started complaining to the supervisor and then eventually to the vice president of maintenance that basically their records were being falsified. People were signing off work they weren't doing," unquote. Gulfstream Airlines president Dave Hackett replies that Briscoe, quote, "was having safety issues with other employees who were concerned with his very aggressive behavior and use of inappropriate language," unquote. He also said Briscoe was cited for refusal to display a security badge and to sign a disciplinary agreement, but Briscoe says those charges were fabricated. An inspection by the FAA earlier this year revealed that automotive air conditioning compressors were installed in 27 Beech aircraft operated by Gulfstream. They've since been replaced with aircraft parts. Kenny Edwards, former pilot for Gulfstream, plans to sue the airline for terminating him when he refused to fly a plane with an inoperative collision avoidance system. Edwards says he was told by a supervisor, quote, "You need to get in the cockpit and you need to fly the airplane now," unquote. Edwards filed a whistleblower report with the FAA, claiming that logs were routinely fudged by the airline to work pilots beyond federal limits. After initially dismissing the complaint, the FAA has now reopened that investigation. Still ahead, Jetman successfully flies across the English Channel. Boeing is handed lemons and makes lemonade. And four manufacturers plan a jet fit for a queen. Make that the queen. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 29th. I'm Paul Plack. Add a new name to the record books in a brand new category. We don't know what we'll call it yet. Swiss airline pilot and adventurer Yves Rossi parachuted to a safe landing in Dover, England on Friday after completing a roughly 10-minute flight across the English Channel using a jet-powered wing strapped to his back. Bloomberg reports Rossi took off from Calais, France, aboard a drop plane, which carried him to about 10,000 feet. He then jumped from the plane, lit the trigger on the four kerosene-burning turbine engines, and aimed west. Early reports indicate Rossi reached speeds of about 100 miles per hour. The VNE on his wing is 118. Rossi postponed Thursday's attempt due to low cloud cover over the channel. He first flew the strap-on jet in 2004 and has produced some widely viewed internet videos. Today, he's back at work flying an A320 for Swiss International Airlines. Boy, what a letdown that's got to be. Boeing continues to find a silver lining inside the cloud of delays plaguing the 787 Dreamliner program. After winding up 14 months behind schedule on the Dreamliner, in the middle of a machinist strike, and facing an engineer strike in December, Boeing reports signing deals to supply several airlines currently waiting for Dreamliners with 767s in the meantime. The company announced 24 new orders for the 767 on Thursday. 9 are from All Nippon Airways, which is waiting for 50 Dreamliners. Japan Airlines, which ordered 35 Dreamliners, is said to have ordered another 9 767s, and 2 more are headed for Azerbaijan Airlines, which is also waiting for a 787. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports we're likely to see more similar orders announced in the coming months. Boeing faces several $1 billion in late penalty payments to more than 50 Dreamliner customers. The new 767 orders may save that production line from shutting down, which appeared likely when the U.S. Air Force rejected Boeing's bid to supply it with a military tanker based on the legacy airliner. New figures now show the backlog for 767s at 55 planes, although there's no sign of when plants idled by the strike may be back in operation. The Queen of England is reportedly in the market for a private jet for exclusive use by the royal family. 4 major aircraft manufacturers are reportedly providing bids in the neighborhood of £7 million, or about $13 million U.S. The Sun reports that Learjet, Hawker Beechcraft, Cessna, and Gulfstream are expected to tender their bids on Wednesday. Whether the royal family intends to lease an aircraft or purchase it outright is fodder for speculation at the moment. Buckingham Palace spokeswoman Colette Sanders declined to confirm the report, saying the government is funding an aircraft to be shared among the royal family, the prime minister, and the foreign office. But as you might imagine, the queen hates to be kept waiting. The royals spent £5.5 million just last year for chartered aircraft when the shared jet wasn't immediately available. The tabloid says that in the absence of a government budget line for the jet, the queen may be buying it herself. The Sun claims it was told by an official Buckingham Palace spokesman, quote, "The jet will be solely for the royal family for official engagements. It's fair to say it will be far from an ordinary aircraft. It will be fit for a queen," unquote. Her Majesty is reportedly taking a personal interest in the design of the aircraft. She was quoted as asking what accommodations were planned for her pet corgis. And finally, while Chinese officials last week were hoping their first spacewalk would leave behind a warm afterglow of nationalist pride, Shandong Airlines was providing another source of embarrassment. Henan Business Daily reports flight SC-4752 was en route from Guilin to Shenzhou Airport last Tuesday when the crew became aware of a failure in the plane's hydraulic system. Fortunately, the landing at Shenzhou was uneventful. But without hydraulics, the plane couldn't be steered to get it off the runway. It was quickly determined that the plane could also not be safely towed by the nose gear. What happened next is not clear. Officially, emergency vehicles brought out 30 airport workers who jumped out and pushed the CRJ-700 a half mile onto a taxiway. It took 2 hours. There are unconfirmed reports the 69 passengers were also asked to get out and push. You know what? Suddenly, living in a country where most airlines charge for checked bags doesn't sound so bad after all. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Fall has officially arrived in the Northern Hemisphere. That means winter's coming. Today, I'll look ahead to cold weather, night operations, increased risks of carbon monoxide, and how we stay proficient with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.